Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. We have a busy docket yet again today. Let's get to it. First, another date continued in the Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell matter. Go figure. Second, capital murder charges filed in the death of 4-year-old Cash Gernon. Third, a bloody chainsaw leads to homicide charges. Fourth, a 76-year-old has been arrested for a 50-year-old cold case. Fifth, cause of death in the case of 5-year-old Samuel Olson. And then finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so, please hit that subscribe button as well as the bell so that you can receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. You'll be happy you did. Okay, let's get to the docket. Once again, another delay in the Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell matter. As we know, the matters related to Lori Vallow completely put on hold because she has a field trip. She's going down to the state hospital in Idaho where she is going to be restored to competency. Chad Daybell, he had his arraignment yesterday. They're going to meet in 2 weeks and set a trial date. But as you may recall, in the tampering with evidence case, we were going to have a change of venue hearing coming up next week. And guess what? That's right. It's been vacated, and they're going to set another date to set another date. Now, I get it. There's multiple cases going on. You have the concealment, tampering with evidence charge, and then you have the homicide indictment. They are closely related with one another, and some sort of motion to join should probably be made sooner rather than later to get them all on the same track. Now, until there is, in fact, a motion to join the homicide case with the tampering with evidence case, these cases are on separate track. So if they're going to have a motion to join filed, they should probably do it sooner rather than later. And the motions hearing regarding the change of venue is more than likely going to impact what happens in the murder case as well. So let's just get it resolved. I like Judge Boyce. He seems like a very good judge. It just seems like we spend a lot of time scheduling dates when the court should just schedule dates. Jobs expand to the amount of time given, and when you have deadlines, it forces people to make decisions. Next on the docket, charges have been filed in regards to the death of 4-year-old Cash Gernon. Now, I don't know if you recall this case. We discussed it about 2 weeks ago, and this one just really creeped me out because Cash Gernon was literally kidnapped from his crib, and it was captured on a home security device. All right. So now the 18-year-old who is allegedly responsible for the death of Cash, a guy by the name of Darian Brown, and his bond has been increased from $5 million up to $6,625,000. It should be no bond hold, not that he has any chance of making bond in this particular case, but Mr. Brown is a danger to the community. And I'm telling you, listen to the facts of this case. So Brown is accused of kidnapping Cash from his crib in the middle of the night, and then subsequently killing Cash, who was 4, in a suburban area of Dallas. Now, this all took place back in May of this year. Cash's body was discovered in the middle of a street. A woman who said she called 911 thought that the boy was actually an animal that had been hit in the middle of the road. The woman stated, "I see something laying on the road, and my initial thought was it was a dog. The closer she got, she couldn't tell it's a human because I could only see the hand and I saw a leg." It was very traumatizing. The woman said that she has three kids, and to see a child in the middle of the street was very traumatizing to her. Cash's body was found about a half mile from where he was living with his twin brother. In some recently released surveillance footage, the man, identified as Mr. Brown in this case, the defendant, can actually be seen grabbing the child as he slept. The video allegedly shows the defendant returning to the scene of the crime, hovering over the crib, and presumably contemplating stealing the boy's twin, but ultimately decides against it. Take a look at that video. I'm telling you, this is creepy. Now, just over a week after Brown's arrest, it was reported that he had tried to take another child back in February. According to the affidavit, Brown, in this previous case, made his way into a man's home and began to rifle through various rooms and closets. The man claimed that he picked up a kitchen knife and brandished it in Brown's direction, and while he was demanding Brown leave the premises. So Brown allegedly left. Then he returns and begins kicking at an interior door between the house and the garage. This prompted the property owner to open the door and see basically what was going on. After that, the man claims Brown punched him in the forehead. The man that was at the house claimed that Brown then walked into the living room where his two-year-old granddaughter was sleeping. Brown then allegedly grabbed the girl and tried to take her away towards the laundry room. The man said at first he pled with Brown to let the girl go, but those pleas were ignored. The girl was then ripped from the defendant's grasp by the grandfather. In the statement to the police, the grandfather stated that his granddaughter was quite startled and began crying when she awoke to Brown holding her. The grandfather initially declined to press charges after Brown apologized. He stated that he was apparently sorry for breaking into the house and trying to take the grandchild. Oop, bygones. Really? I'd be calling 911 in a heartbeat. Those charges relating to the alleged kidnapping of the granddaughter have not been filed, but will be forthcoming. Now, obviously, we're going to give Mr. Brown the presumption of innocence. However, if you believe the facts as true, Mr. Brown is a dangerous criminal. This is every parent's worst nightmare, to have somebody come into your home and steal your child. And in this case, young Cash Gernon, ultimately deceased. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. All right, next on the docket, certainly in a category of you just simply can't make this stuff up, a bloody chainsaw leads to homicide charges. Go figure. So officials in Georgia have identified the dismembered body on a central Georgia lawn last week, and they've released more details. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation identified the victim as 29-year-old Justin Yang Yong, who reportedly has family in the area there in Georgia. Now, Yang's body was found on June 4th, dismembered and placed in several trash bags. At a press conference, the police stated that the yellow Jeep that was actually owned by the victim was missing, and that led investigators to Aikens County, South Carolina. A few days prior to the dismembered remains being found, officers came across Christopher Demon, and he was driving a yellow Jeep. An incident report says he was blocking both lanes of a road with the vehicle and behaving erratically. It was believed that Mr. Demon was on drugs. According to the police, there was a bloody chainsaw in the back of the Jeep. Now, Demon was charged with malice murder for the death of Mr. Young. At the time, investigators said that Demon occasionally lived in the home where the body was found with another person. It wasn't clear if that other person was Young. And not surprisingly, Mr. Demon had a lengthy criminal history. Once again, we'll give him the presumption of innocence, but you just can't make this stuff up. Oh, what do you have there in the back of the Jeep? Oh, nothing much, just a bloody chainsaw. Is that a concern of you? Next on the docket, let's call up the case of a 76-year-old Minnesota man that was taken into custody for his alleged involvement in a case nearly 50 years ago when a 15-year-old girl was assaulted and murdered in Illinois. Barry Lee Wepley was arrested for the death of Julie Ann Hansen going back to 1972. Hansen was reported missing on June 8th of 1972. Her body was found in a cornfield ditch later the same day. Hansen was riding her younger brother's bike when she disappeared on June 7th. The autopsy revealed that Miss Hansen had been stabbed some 36 times, as well as being sexually assaulted. According to police, Wepley, who was 27 at the time of the murder, lived about a mile away from the Hansen residence. The detectives working the case used DNA genealogy technology to connect Wepley to the case. Wepley's now charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder, and his bond was set at $10 million. Now, it really makes you wonder, this guy here, 76 years old, 50 years ago this happened. Do you think and wonder if he thought about that literally every day? Maybe it was the first thing he thought about when he woke up and the last thing he thought about when he went to sleep at night? You really would like to know, wouldn't you? All right, the cause of death regarding the death of 5-year-old Samuel Olson has been released. According to officials, Samuel Olson died by homicidal violence. Samuel Olson died of homicidal violence, officials said on Wednesday. This was 2 days after Teresa Balboa appeared in court for the first time in connection with his death. The Harris County Institute of Forensic Science in Houston said the cause of death is homicidal violence with blunt head trauma. Now, Balboa, 29, was seen wearing an orange jumpsuit and in handcuffs as she stood in court for less than 10 minutes on Monday. As of right now, Ms. Balboa has been charged with evidence tampering and is currently behind bars in the Harris County Jail. Her bond was increased from $500,000 to $600,000 on impending charges against the child's dad, Dalton Olson. Samuel was first reported missing on May 27th by Balboa and his father, Dalton Olson, though police say he hasn't been seen publicly since April 30th. His body was found in a motel on June 1st. Now, the youngster had been living with Balboa and not his biological parents at the time they went missing, and it's really not clear at this point why. Now, just months before he vanished, his father, Dalton, sought a restraining order against Balboa, his fiance, after she allegedly strangled him. Balboa had been living with a friend, Benjamin Rivera, who told police Balboa phoned him to tell him that Samuel was dead, and she begged him to help him hide the body. In court documents, it's alleged that Rivera was told and told the police that they put him, Samuel Olson, in a bathtub at the apartment in Webster, Texas, where he remained for 2 days. In court documents, Rivera claims they put Sam in a bathtub at an apartment in Webster, where he remained for 2 days before being transported to a storage unit nearby in a plastic bin. Now, Balboa's roommate, Rivera, said he raced out of work after she called him and returned home to find Samuel laying on the bed, unresponsive. He told police he noticed bruising on the child's body, not surprisingly, given the finding of blunt force trauma. Then on May 13th, Rivera claims he bought duct tape and a plastic tote from Walmart and that he and Balboa wrapped Samuel's body in plastic sheet, placed it in a tote bag, and put the body in the back of a truck. They then drove to a storage unit in Webster. Police busted Balboa in a Best Western motel on June 1st in Jasper And this was after a friend claimed he drove her there with a foul-smelling bin and later tipped off Crime Stoppers. Balboa had initially told police weeks before that she had given Samuel back to her biological mother, Sarah Olson, when she showed up at her home with a man she believed to be a police officer. Balboa stated, "I was going to take Sam to school when his mother showed up with his police officer, or who I was under the impression to be a police officer, and they demanded me to release Sam to them." She stated that she continued that she had to hand over the child because she has no legal rights to him. Now, the boy's biological mother denied the claim and gave police a solid alibi of her whereabouts, saying that she actually hadn't seen her son in weeks. Police say they found the child's body inside a plastic container in that hotel room. After removing the lid on the bin, officers found a small body stuffed inside a black plastic bag that had been secured with duct tape. Police believed that Balboa was planning on moving the boy's body to another state when the police arrested her. In fact, prosecutors believe that she was on her way to Louisiana to dispose of the body. Now, this case has lots of interesting issues, very similar to Letitia Stauch, is it not? And then you have to wonder, why would all these friends help Miss Balboa dispose of a deceased child? That's just a little unfathomable. So now these people that had they literally just picked up the phone and called the police, they would be a witness. And more than likely, they're going to be a defendant charged with accessory after the fact. Doesn't make much sense to me at all. A lot of unanswered questions in this particular case. For example, why was this child not with the biological parents? Why was Miss Balboa taking care of the child? And why is the father not making any statements to the police whatsoever? Something is just not right in this particular case. We'll see how things shake out. All right. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Please meet Tanner Hutchinson. Now, Mr. Hutchinson resides in Missouri, and he was arrested the other day after an auto accident. And he was only a passenger in the accident, which involved a drunk driver. Fortunately, no one was seriously hurt. Apparently, after the police arrived at this accident, they had contact with Mr. Hutchinson. It's unclear exactly what led to the police to discover some drugs, but he was in fact arrested for drugs. He's being held on a $30,000 bond. Now, like lots of our dumb criminals, it's not necessarily what they did, but in this particular case, it's what they wear for their booking photo. You gotta admit, it's a little ironic that Mr. Hutchinson, arrested for drugs, has on his DARE t-shirt saying drugs are bad. Mr. Hutchinson, I don't know if that was a joke or just poor choice of fashion wardrobe that day, but either way, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. Congratulations. Now, if you would like the prize that a dumb criminal could potentially receive in this particular contest without becoming a dumb criminal, hit the link below. You can order a mug, some really cool t-shirts. My personal favorite now is the limited edition Miss Winnie coffee mug. You can't go wrong. I just love it. Anyway, thanks for watching. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok. All right, have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next time on Crime Talk.